Hey everyone, just want to encourage you to find us on your listening platform and give us a rating. Anywhere you listen to that has a rating system, go on over and give us a rating and maybe leave us a review. Let us know your thoughts. These ratings really do help. Thank you so much for listening. On to this week's episode.
Guys, what are your thoughts on Patrick Swayze?
Well, up until yesterday, I thought he was still alive. So.
Seriously?
Tell her who you thought was dead.
Okay, I said Dustin Hoffman is who I confuse him with.
Yeah. So he said, like, I always
confused. Eddie was very confused.
I always confused Patrick Swayze and Dustin Hoffman. They look so much alike. And I was like, what?
And then
you really can't make this up.
Not Dustin Hoffman, David Hasselhoff.
Okay, so let me just get this straight.
And then he was like, who's dead?
Who I thought was dead.
Rest in peace.
I always confuse David Hasselhoff and Patrick Swayze all the time.
So you confused Patrick Swayze with Dustin Hoffman, who wasn't even Dustin Hoffman. It was truly David Hasselhoff. You just referred to him as Dustin Hoffman.
Correct. Yes.
I love this.
Eddie was absolutely confused when I'm asking him these questions while we're watching the movie.
That is. Okay. Well, so then let me, say it again. Not David Hasselhoff. How do we feel about Patrick Swayze as an actor? Because his five most prolific films are Dirty Dancing.
Okay, I know
that. To Wong Fu, Thank You Everything, Julie Newmar.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm. Point Break.
Never seen it.
It's such a good movie. Ghost and Roadhouse. And these are five completely different performances, different movies. And yet they're like the reason he's this huge star.
Wow, two out of these three movies have been remade.
They have. Point Break's been remade. Dirty Dancing got a sequel. Roadhouse has been remade.
Oh, it did. You're right. Yeah. So we're at three.
I don't know if Ghost did. Yeah.
I don't think Ghost is going to remade, but I'm sure it's in the pipeline.
No.
I mean, I just...
Inevitable.
I think he has one hell of an interesting career, especially for, a straight man. Like, he's kind of like Hugh Jackman in a way. I don't know. Does he have like a modern day, contemporary, I should say, equivalent?
I mean,
he's really versatile in terms of like can do like Dirty Dancing and Roadhouse within 2 years.
I don't know. But is Dirty Dancing that different from Ghost?
Well, because they're more so like, because they're more quote-unquote chick flicks, but they're very different type of chick flicks.
No, but like the character he's playing aren't too dissimilar in terms of like being like the crazy obsessive guy madly in love with this, not necessarily younger person, but like the other significant other. He becomes a ghost and like chases her through his afterlife.
Oh, he protects her, but...
As Baby was put in the corner... And taught her how to dance and was just obsessed with her.
I disagree,
but I can tell you that he does romance very well.
He does.
You fall in love with him in the process of him falling in love with someone else, another character. Mm-hmm. So he does romance very well. He has appeal and charm about him. Even when he's just playing like a kind business guy who got wrongly killed or a sexy cabana, I don't know who he was in Dirty Dancing exactly, but the instructor working in a country club, there's something very charming and he could play the action hero. Could be action hero too, without him being too much.
And then he can play a drag queen, even though
I love that movie so much. Yeah,
It is a good movie.
Yeah, and it's just he's such a unique movie star, and I think he convincingly portrays all of these roles as like he pulls them off. And I don't know if there is a contemporary equivalent, but it's interesting that in the Roadhouse sequel, because today we're covering Roadhouse, they gave this role to Jake Gyllenhaal, who is somewhat...
Not a sequel.
remake, who is somewhat of his own kind of interesting, kind of does something different and eccentric with all of his roles, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the 2024 counterpoint in a way. So something I definitely want us to discuss a little further. So let's just get right into it. I'm Nicole.
I'm Rolando.
And I'm Eddie Z.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality.
Okay, so before we get into it, I just recently moved into a new apartment. So if the space sounds different, there's very high ceilings and it's a very open concept. So I'm hoping we don't come into too many issues with audio recording. But that is to be decided. And I just realized...
I'm telling everybody.
Well, I just realized, too, I wanted to tell you guys this, is that when you come and you visit this apartment, this will be the fifth of my apartments that you would have visited, which is funny, because as long as I'm in Orlando, I've only visited one. Like, it's just always moving at sea.
Yeah, you're the Phoebe of the group. I feel like Phoebe was like the one who probably moved around the most.
Yeah.
I'm definitely like true to my nature. I feel like I'm a Monica.
You just said the nicest thing in the world by calling me Phoebe because she's my favorite Friends character. So
it all worked out.
It all worked out. And is Monica yours?
No, I like them all, but I think I don't know. I don't think I have a favorite because I like them all for different reasons.
Okay.
Right? Like, yeah, but I think, what's it called? I think I always saw myself more so as a Monica.
Yeah. I see you more as a Monica too. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So it all works out.
It does.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's about it. This is really exciting for today's episode because you've never seen Roadhouse, and Roadhouse is probably one of my favorite, not even guilty pleasures, just a pleasure. I think it's very watchable and a fun movie. And it's the only one of those that's like qualified as like a, you know, a guy movie that I'm like, yeah, no, this movie rules. Guys, I agree. Because this is like got aired all the time on, you remember Spike TV?
Oh my God, I haven't thought of Spike TV in forever.
All the time.
Yeah. This was a Spike TV favorite.
And Spike TV, man channel.
Yeah.
Like programming for guys. It was so dumb. Yeah. I can't believe that was like an actual a cable channel.
It was, which is so interesting because like, I think this, I'm just going to say right now, I think this movie is really gay. So it's amazing that straight men love it because I'm like, oh wow, I finally like get it. If only if it's for its hidden homoerotic qualities. So
interesting. I remember you told me this. You found it to be one of the most homoerotic like straight man movies.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to have you decipher this for me because
yeah,
I see a little bit, sure, but like not like I wouldn't call it homoerotic.
You wouldn't call it homoerotic? Okay.
No.
All right.
Nor would I call it a good movie, though, to be quite honest. So,
I wouldn't say this is a movie that should be studied or, you know, is well-respected or something. But movies come in all sort of genres and in packages and stuff. And I think this movie does not take itself seriously. I think it just wants to have fun. And I think that in those ways, it definitely succeeds. And I do think that this proves that straight men understand camp. And that it's not just like reserved for either women or gays. So it's like, wow, straight men can do camp too. So
it's also another interest. So you didn't think this movie took itself so seriously?
I don't think so at all.
Wow.
I disagree.
Disagree. Yeah.
Well, it depends. It's like, so Mommy Dearest, right? That's a camp movie that takes itself very seriously. That movie
crosses that
out,
threshold of camp. Yeah.
That absolutely was out to win Oscars. I don't think Roadhouse was out to win Oscars.
I don't think a movie has to aim for an Oscar to be taking itself seriously. I definitely do think that like the director and the writer and Patrick Swayze here thought they were definitely giving like they were, maybe they weren't aiming for Oscars, but they were definitely aiming for like Critics' Choice or something. I don't know if that existed in the 80s. But you know, I think they were aiming. I think they were like aiming. They wanted some, like some, not prestige, right? Because I don't think, again, prestige is not something that like everyone is seeking. But I think they were. I don't know. I think they took themselves seriously with some of the camera movements, with some of the treatment of the male physique on the camera.
Yeah.
Just some of the dialogue that they were trying to write, it was just like, okay. Like, this movie definitely took itself way more seriously than you give it credit for. And I Maybe. Do think because of that is why it crosses into camp. Because I do agree with you. Yeah. There is camp mm-hmm. in this film. Mm-hmm.
But I think these are all things that we attribute to 80s movies, too. These kind of like...
But everyone knows karate, for example.
Yeah, yeah. It's usually a white guy that studied karate or there's someone else, you know, martial arts. History of some sort. There's a lot of tits and ass. A lot of tits and ass, right? And you get these moments of elusive sex scenes. You know, the sex scenes too, right? I'm trying to think of like in this like just an ordinary movie that I've seen where it's like, oh, this is the sex scene.
Right? Yeah, it's been a while. Like,
it's been a while. Watch an 80s movie that has to do with kind of like action, man thing, insert the sex. Oh, this is where the sex scene comes. Yes. We've been waiting for the sex scene.
The way sex scenes are being done are very differently. And I think there's a whole discourse going on right now in film about like, oh, do we need sex scenes even? It's just like, well, I think sometimes we need some sex scenes, right? Like some good sex scenes that come to mind, even though they weren't like sex, they were more like oral sex, were... There was like a tenderness for All of Us Strangers. That's from 2023. And another one, another oral sex scene was from Saltburn, right? When he's going down on a woman on her period. And both of them are truly trying to elicit different reactions from audiences, right? So I think there is still use for the sex scene. But like, yeah, watching this, it'd been a while since I just seen a sex scene just for the sake of the sex scene. And it was so awkward because, I don't know, like, that was just an awkward sex scene.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze and the doctor.
Okay, so maybe let's get into plot really quick before I at least say why I don't think it's like a movie that takes itself like too seriously. I think like they were not like laughing the whole time being like, that's so ridiculous. And I don't think they were making a parody. But it's weird. It's like, so are you either blatantly making a comedy or are you just like making something that is, you know, having fun with more so gimmicky and templatey things? And that's the thing around here. A lot of those like action movie or like hero story templates were like kind of being generated and mm-hmm. solidified. The ones that like later on when we really started parodying them were in this era. Mm-hmm. But I know that this movie was like responding to straight up copying movies that came before it and trends and whatnot. So, and also a lot of it just felt like, I mean, it was the 80s. So I'm sure these writers were like on cocaine when they were coming up with some of this stuff. And it feels like that too, because a lot of it is just completely unhinged. So plot wise, we have immediately it's like, how is this serious? How is this supposed to be like taken seriously? We have mm-hmm. a world famous bouncer. Club bouncer, which already is like, see, before the internet, how is this guy so freaking famous?
Mouth, magazines.
Everyone knows what he looks like. Everyone knows the name James Dalton or just Dalton. And he's a professional bouncer. They call him a cooler. And he's very stoic and he's very cool headed, but he can like bust anybody's face in. And so he is sought out by a businessman who wants him to come to Missouri and turn his, you know, roadhouse, the Double Deuce, into like the best nightclub in the damn area. Mm-hmm. And so Dalton agrees. Dalton like sells his car and then buys something else, goes down. And yeah, like the moment he walks in, everyone knows him, even, you know, the blind guy who is performing in the band, just based on his voice, because they have this relationship. And immediately he has come into people who are, you know, don't want him there, who people like the way things are at the Double Deuce. They liked it corrupt. They liked it really trashy. And a lot of them work for a guy named Wesley, who's going to become the main villain of the story. Wesley kind of has the entire town in his pocket. Everybody's, you know, giving him money and everyone's keeping him happy so that he doesn't destroy their lives, essentially.
Basically like a mob lord.
Yeah. And Dalton, you know, he's just trying to do his job here. You know, his whole thing is be nice, right? Like, do your job. Don't engage in anything. Be nice until it's time to not be nice. Mm-hmm. And here is someone who is pushing him a little too far with every step. And, you know, he falls in love with this nurse who ended up being Wesley's ex-lover. He needs his, like, old pal, Wade Garrett, who's also pretty fucking world famous, to come in and, like, help him, you know, his tutor. Even though I don't know who, I know Wade Garrett taught him the ways of bouncing, but I do not know who taught him the way of martial arts. He also has, I think, a PhD in philosophy. It's like these kind of things.
That's probably where he learned, you know, the way of the martial art.
It's so... That's why I'm like, this movie cannot be that serious. Maybe it is, but also it's like, it has to be having fun there because it's like...
The fact that they're trying to make him philosopher just tells you they were trying to go for a little bit of depth here. It wasn't, it didn't read like intentionally hubris. It read like, it's like, we're going for profundity.
Maybe. Well, the thing about Dalton too is that he has some trauma. And the fact of the matter is that at one point... He actually killed a man in self-defense by ripping out his throat. So, like, if he's pushed too far and he's engaging in, like, you know, violent behavior, then he has the power to kill a man with his bare hands. So, you know, Dalton is no one to be fucked with.
Quick correction. So, it's Elizabeth Clay is a doctor.
Elizabeth
Clay.
Played by Kelly Lynch, who...
Kelly Lynch.
...does not have the best, like, filmography, but she was in Cocktail, she was in Drugstore Cowboy, Desperate Hours.
Is she related to Jane Lynch?
I don't know, actually. I don't think she is.
I don't know. All these Nepo babies, it's hard to tell nowadays.
Yeah. Well, they're much older. I don't think they are, to be honest.
They could be cousins.
They could be. I didn't see it on the Wikipedia page. So, you think it's going to be like, oh, he's going to turn the Double Deuce around from, like, dump into, like, the coolest fucking club in the world? I mean, and he does that, but then that kind of becomes a B-plot, and then this whole Wesley thing completely takes over. And that's when the movie gets really unhinged. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it just becomes, like, escalated fight after escalate. Like, it just keeps escalating to 11, and then by the time the movie ends...
By the time the movie ends, it dials back to like a 4, and it's kind of silly.
It is a little anticlimactic at the end, but like...
They're like skinny dipping in the pond.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and kissing.
Yeah, which, see? I don't know. There's something about this movie, like in particular when it comes to the woman, I agree with you. It's one of the worst sex scenes I've ever seen. It's just not sexy. It's not so awkward. It was too choreographed.
Like, it was like clumsy in the beginning when they were just trying to like when they were about off to kiss? His pants and it's like,
but they hadn't even kissed yet. And yeah, it was just like they were hovering around each other's mouths. It was trying to elicit like passion. It was trying to elicit like kind of that moment of desire. But yet, it was so cringy. I was just like,
it was terrible.
Ew, this is just why is it not working?
It's yeah.
Like, I know what they're going for. It just didn't work.
But that whole story doesn't work. And then like it gets creepy with Wade Garrett like making moves on his girlfriend, but like him allowing it, like that becomes
him allowing it or her laughing it off, like
yeah, like trying her best and being like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
They're dancing in a diner and then that family eating. It's just like, this is, hurry up. We got to go.
It was so weird. And I'm just thinking about like, you know, but I'm coming at it from like all these HR sexual conduct classes and stuff like that. And looking also from a very, entering a very woke era of consent and physical expression and how we treat women, you know. But it was very much, oh, this is so 80s. This is like, hey, she's the girl and it's my buddies, you know, so it's always so cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
but that's the
Wade
thing too.
It's Wade.
Yeah, it feels forced, whereas the real passion is between the men. Like the real, like, I want you and I want you in terms of I want to kill you. Yes. But it's like passion nonetheless. And like the gazing and the like the desire is like all throughout the male relationships to the point where we get the famous line, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Oh right. My God.
Yeah.
So that was his coming out story.
I know, seriously. Like, like they're like fighting.
So all right. Was that line intended to be read like I've, you know, fucked up guys like you in prison, right? Like, you know how, like, in the heat of the moment, you say the wrong things? Was that, like, the intentional read? Like, was this what the writer was trying to elicit in terms of, like, I used to fuck up guys like you, or, like, you know, like, kill guys like you in prison, right? Like, that kind of read? Or is it literally, like, I used to sexually assault men like you in prison?
No, it's 100% that.
Yes, yeah.
That you is. Have... You
he has him actual... from behind whispering that in his ear when he's saying that, too.
Okay. Like, I mean, yeah, I get it was just a weird line to just put in there for sure.
But that's why it's also like, okay, you know, like everything involving these men is just like so intense, you know?
Yeah.
The real relationship too is like how much, you know, Wesley and him are obsessed with each other. The other guy who says that line, whose name I can't remember, but he's played by Marshall Teague, the one who says I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
I didn't even know he had a name.
Yeah, his character. We'll just refer to him as the actor, Marshall Teague. Yeah. And
the lackey.
And the way that the girls are just kind of like almost there as like ways to get to each other. Like that one girl who strips and does the thing. And Dalton could give two fucking shits, right?
Denise. Like, that was Denise.
Yeah. Denise. And it's like there for like guys who want to see, you know, tits and ass and stuff. But it's not about her. It's about these men and just like these power struggles and stuff. And I
no
don't
one
know,
likes a
like,
desperate woman, and that was like the most biggest act of desperation.
Yeah,
there was nothing sadder than like seeing her give this dance, and it more like
just and it's so unnecessary. And also remember the girl that in the beginning of the movie who like comes and visits him and brings him coffee and stuff, and
Harry.
Then we, like never see her again.
No, yeah. We do see her. No,
I mean we see her performing on the stage.
She pops up here and there. She's always like in the background. Or something. But yeah, we do see her a couple of times. But that's also, too, that's such a weird character.
Yeah.
Because even in, it's like another character that I feel like there's missed opportunities to kind of play a more significant role.
Yes.
Maybe more than just the ditzy waitress, you mm-hmm. know? Because it's a nice, like, the nice, like, it comes across in the remake a little bit better as that Carrie is a little different. It's like, hey, I brought you breakfast. I knew you just moved in. I brought you some food and stuff like that. Yeah. That whole desperation. I really wish you stay. I really wish you're not one of those that easily go away. You know, then pow, already there's another layer of this character. But the other one is a little kind of like, oh man, I'm going to stare at your ass a little bit. And I'm gonna, the funny thing is that she said, oh, you made such a big mistake. And he says, what do you mean? Oh, like if you want to die, you know, like not like telling him, hey, Wade's not a good guy and he controls people, you know, like not telling him the whole story too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah. This is definitely.
So she's there for exposition dump for sure. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
But doesn't even.
They could have utilized her.
It's like, I have chisme, but I'm not going to tell you, but I have some juicy chisme.
Yeah, you'll find out.
Like, ah, you'll find out.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, and that's the thing too, maybe it's just, it's probably at the end of the day, bad writing, but I'm just kind of like, this movie is ridiculous. And it's like focusing on other things a little too much and turning other things to the wayside, which inadvertently becomes camp. You know, truly the definition of camp is actually that it's not intended. So like for me to say that, like, this is proof that straight guys understand camp, I actually mean to say that this is proof that straight guys can appreciate camp. You know, this is just the type that they wanted. But I've always felt like it was homoerotic just because of the fact that all of these men just want to dominate each other. And it's all about, like, them exerting control over one another.
I mean, the most homoerotic part of the film was when Wesley's just staring out the window as, you know, Dalton and the doc are going at it on the roof of the house across the lake. Which is also, A, that's her ex, so she knows he's right across the lake. That's number one.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two... The farmer who owns the property is also within eye line here.
I know. A bunch of peeping like, toms.
The audacity of these people.
An exhibitionist.
Yeah. Not per se. Yeah. But I was like, when the movie started and you get a series introduced of these older gentlemen, I was like, why is all the older guys giving out creepy vibes?
Yeah, because like Frank the guy from the get-go was like super creepy in the first scene.
Yeah, it's just like.
But then by the end, he's just like, he's fine.
It's like, do you want to lick his chest? I don't understand. Why is this whole like these long kind of like gazes that you're giving him?
You know?
So let's cut the creepy vibes. But I really say like a lot of these things I've seen like a tribute to 80s movies, 80s action flicks. And it is true. Like it's under women become more of maybe the plot twist, something they play off of. And but the men really are the ones that create the more in their own ways in these action flicks, their more deeper relationships.
Absolutely. Which, you know, is at the end of the day, like men, straight men, really just love and respect each other. Like women are usually just kind of like there, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the male gaze, you know, written all over it. And
this is Patrick Swayze. He was hot shit. He was sexy.
I mean, it's so ridiculous, his whole thing. Yet I buy it. I buy that he has a philosophy PhD. I buy that he knows martial arts. First of all, he did all his own stunts, and apparently Marshall Teague broke two of his ribs. And that, like, the reason he took Ghost was because of a direct reaction to this movie where he's like, I need something where I'm not doing as much as I did.
Oh, Patrick Swayze's ribs were broken. I thought he...
Yeah, Patrick Swayze's ribs were broken, yeah.
I see.
Okay. But apparently a lot of the actors did their own stunts and stuff.
Well, it was also the 80s. They weren't, like, I'm sure...
No, there were stuntmen.
There were stuntmen.
No, but the way the rule... No. But, you know, now there's, like, actual rules enforced and stuff because the studios don't want to, like, lose money on insurance claims. So I don't think that was around yet in the 80s. It was just like, eh, fuck them.
Yeah.
They're stock.
Everything that he's kind of selling here, I buy at the end of the day. I think that he pulls it off. And I think that this movie works with him in it. If this movie had Tom Cruise in the lead, it probably would be way more laughable. This movie has its laughs, but it's almost like you want to like go with the movie on it. Like you're not necessarily like, you know, pointing and laughing at the movie. Like you're down. It's ridiculous, but you're down to like meet the movie there. And I think that's Swayze's performance. I think, I don't know if it would have, at least for me, I don't think if any other actor was in this, I would have felt that way about it. Which
I agree.
I have to give it to him at the end of the
day. Yeah, it's his charm. It's the way he kind of, like, he makes all these ridiculous things work.
Yeah.
You know, work and maybe, like, take them almost seriously. Like, he does give that sense of that. Like, even when he was in command of the floor, he does give that sense of, like, being in charge, being a leader, but not being bossy about it.
Yeah.
Too. And really kind of, like, you know, wanting to stand on, if we could, like, that, you know, the famous line that gets used even in the remake, you know, who, you know, did you win the fight? And when you fight, nobody wins.
Nobody wins a fight. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad they reused that line. They actually reused a lot of lines. And I didn't think that this movie would be as much of a kind of like beat for beat in a weird way. They, towards the end, it kind of went its own road. But it's a lot more similar than I thought it would be to the Patrick Swayze one.
Yes, it was. I had a quick question. As someone who has been to Missouri before, this is one thing I could not like wrap my head around. I don't think real Missouri folk dress like this, nor is it so populated like this. Like the way, because there's supposed to be some like, is that a big town that they're in, right? Or is it?
No, I think it's a smaller town. I mean, that's why Wesley owns it.
How did this nightclub go from like being like this little rinky dinky bar to like looking like the bar from Saved by the Bell? It wasn't the bar, the juice bar from Saved by the Bell. Because like by the end... Like, and also, how long, I had no sense of time in this film, right? How long was Dalton in town for? Because his rate was $500 a day, which in the 80s, he's probably a billionaire by the end of,
I know, seriously,
of his time working there.
How could he truly afford Dalton? Good questions. I think that the reason why it probably was is because it's Missouri. There's probably not a lot of options out. So everyone's coming from every direction to this new place that, you know, world famous Dalton, you know, brought from the ground up. So Because remember, he's fucking famous. Like, men dream of punching his face in.
So, yeah.
It's probably that. But it's also like, who cares in a weird way?
Yeah, I felt, at least in this Roadhouse, the feeling of the town people being a little more real to me than the remake. I did feel like there was more sense of people, except of just kind of like background characters, but like sense of like people. And I did enjoy the fact that you had more supporting cast that felt less like NPCs, like using the Dungeons Dragons reference here, but more like, oh, these are people that live here, they work here, you know, these are the day-to-day folks.
Yeah.
I felt that more in this original.
So let's actually talk a little bit about these like other characters and stuff, right? So I want to turn our attention to the main bad guy, Wesley, right?
Wesley, played by Ben Gazzara.
Yeah, so I understand that. So he was basically like a mob lord by the end of this film. Mm-hmm. Everyone in town. So the way the movie ends, right, is not even that Dalton lands the final blow to kill this guy. It's all the townsfolk come in and then shoot him, right? Which is like I think this is where the movie kind of drove me insane. I was just like, oh, this kind of, it was like, what a whack fight to see between Patrick Swayze and this older gentleman. And it wasn't even like a good fight, you know what I mean? And then on top of that, he doesn't even land the final blow, right? It's the town folks that come in and shoot him. I mean, Jesus, even the doc didn't die.
I kind of like that the town folk killed him personally.
Do
because,
you?
I mean, he burned Red's place down. Like, he took his freaking car, or whatever that's called on those massive...
Monster truck.
Thank you. And drove through the car dealership. I mean, he's been making these people's lives fucking miserable. He destroyed the liquor of Frank's establishment. Like, Dalton just got here.
Maybe. Okay, so you know what it is? Maybe it kind of just came too quickly. Because that all kind of stuff happened, like, towards, like, the final act of the film. When we started seeing, like, more of these townsfolk being interjected into the story, right? Like, otherwise, I don't know. I just didn't necessarily care too much about it. Because, like, yeah, I wasn't invested in the town. I was invested in...
I suppose, but like, Dalton. But from the moment, like, when he goes and he finds the apartment, you know, like, the helicopter flies over and we see that the guy, his landlord is, like, this motherfucker. Like, we see Frank interacting with the people who Wesley has in his pocket. Red is someone we've seen a couple of times. Like, we keep seeing almost in every sequence an instance of him dicking over these townspeople.
Yeah, but then we also start seeing them starting to plot after Red's place gets burnt down is when we start seeing, like, kind of, I don't know, form a coalition or something. That Maybe. Also reminded me, and it came and it went into my mind of something that was driving me. I had a question about, and I don't remember now.
So, about the townsfolks, or
maybe about the townsfolk. Maybe.
Well, here's the thing. Also,
go on. That Red, now the other layer of connection too is that Red is the uncle of Dr. Elizabeth Clay.
Mm-hmm. Is he the uncle, or is, yeah, I guess yeah, he's the uncle.
He said uncle.
Is the uncle and raised her too, yeah. And that the reason that she's in this town, or that she came back, was because, you know, he looked out for her, she's looking out for him.
Hmm.
So
there you go.
So it's a feeling of like I'm rooted here. I'm not gonna go. I'm rooted here.
Yeah. I think this is also very much like the setup is very much a classic Western type setup where it's like outsider comes to this town and there's like a bad guy who's terrorizing the poor, helpless town folk. And that at the end of the day, too, like these people are going to take the law into their own hands. That's very much a Western plot point.
Yeah.
I think that's also why I at the end was like, yeah, I'm satisfied with that ending because that's more, you know, lawless. I mean, this guy has been determining his own laws and rules by intimidation and violence. So, I'm glad they did it. And, you know, that's happened. There's a couple of like stories of real life terrorists of these towns, like Kevin McElroy or something is like a famous case where he was killed in the middle of the street and like nobody saw a thing.
Never heard of this. Interesting. God, I wish I remembered what this point I was trying to make. It's like driving
it'll come
crazy.
To you. It'll come to you.
Maybe.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
So anything else we want to say about the first one before we slide on over into the new 2024 remake?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the action sequences were good. I actually did enjoy the action fights.
Like, I never seen anybody
they were so good.
A polar bear to bring somebody down.
Yeah.
I think the fight choreography was fun to watch. Yeah, no, I mean, look, it was a fine movie and stuff, and I was just like, okay, cool.
Do you guys think Sam Elliott's hot?
I don't know if I would say hot, but I did find him attractive.
He has an appeal to him, especially that hair. Especially that hair. And he's just like, I'm like, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember now what my point was. So the other thing that kind of drove me bad in terms of like the story, what's happening. So at this point, we've seen Dalton kill a few people now, right? First, he ripped off the throat of the guy who sodomized someone in prison, right? That was the first kill. And then the next kill are the people that he murders trying to get to the bad guy. But when he finally gets to the bad guy and is about ready time to rip his throat, he doesn't. He hesitates. He stops. Then they're just like, but why? Why at this point? Like, why? You've already killed so many people to get to here. So, like, why is this one different?
I know. That's he's the only throat you should be ripping out, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
Did the doctor come in right around that time, too?
No.
The doctor was like, she was there.
She was there when he was going to rip.
I think so.
Yeah, she was there when he was about to rip his throat, the other guy's throat, the Wesley's throat.
Yeah.
So I
thought he was going to get shot, to be honest.
Yeah, so did I. I thought, you know, when Wade told him, what do you do when a man has a gun in your face? You either die or you kill him, right? And then I'm thinking that this character is deciding to make a third choice, right? Like, you let it go. Like, you give this guy a pass, or you spare his life, you know?
But he killed all the minions.
I know.
Yeah, well,
I know, but it's like,
to get to him.
We're trying to think of that Wade, that Dalton is not per se a killing machine. Like, he knows how to kill and he knows how to fight, but he's not a killing machine. And I think we add this element of him being a philosopher too. I mean, we have to think about it. Why would they say, I mean, he doesn't get to teach philosophy, you know, in this movie, but
no, he doesn't. He's not reciting.
He practices it.
But it is moments of contemplation that he has of thinking about choice, what it is to have choice, and what it is to give choice to others. So I think this is where the hesitation comes in. But at this point, he has inspired other people to rise up and defend themselves too, and the town folks, the men, I decided to take matters into their own hands and recognize that the only way to get rid of this person is to kill him.
And they just killed Wade Garrett, you know, like they just killed his mentor. Like Christopher Nolan saw this and was like, this is a great idea for The Dark Knight. Like, give him like, you know, an option. And he has no idea which one he's choosing. And that will fuck anyone up, you know? So I think that at the end of the day, he just kind of gets blinded, and reality kind of sits back in, and he realizes what he's become right as he's about to rip his throat out. Because like Eddie said, he's not this person, but you know, he's brought it out in him and he doesn't want to be, he's been trying to escape it for so long. So,
okay. Well then, that is that.
That is that. Thank you very much.
Roadhouse won the most watched cable movie in 2020.
Did it really?
Yeah, and it did get a sequel, Roadhouse 2.
There was a Roadhouse 2?
You have to look at the poster.
Not with Patrick Swayze.
Not with Patrick Swayze.
It was like a direct DVD.
Yeah, the poster alone tells you everything.
Yeah. And I think it was inevitable that a remake would happen. And this remake was announced about a year or so ago. And of people who have seen this movie, people are like, what the actual fuck?
Jesus, this was like gay porn.
Thank you. See? At the end of the day, that is what Roadhouse should be, actually. I'm surprised it hasn't been made into a porn.
I promise it probably has.
It probably has. So enter Doug Liman, who we've talked about his films before on the podcast. Most recently, we talked about him with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He's mm-hmm. a really prominent filmmaker for action movies. He has done The Bourne Identity. He did Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise.
Which was so good. So good.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much.
His first movie is Swingers, which is a comedy and stuff. So, but now he's kind of went more into the action movie genre. And most recently, his movie is Roadhouse. This was something that he had hoped to get released theatrically. And recently, there's been some kind of hoopla because he was incredibly upset that MGM Studios decided to release it only through Prime. And he has been quoted saying that Jake Gyllenhaal could have won the Oscar for this and that them releasing it on Prime totally messed it up. He said that.
So, do you have evidence of him saying that? Because I actually love mm-hmm. that.
I probably could find it, yeah.
Because I understand where he's coming from with that. Because I will say this much. This movie is carried completely by Jake Gyllenhaal's performance.
It truly.
Oscar-worthy, I wouldn't go that far. But definitely, definitely quite a feat that Jake Gyllenhaal did here for this film. And
Jake Gyllenhaal is another very interesting actor. I mean, if we were to talk about some of his most prolific roles, you know, what do you know Jake Gyllenhaal from?
Brokeback Mountain, mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nightcrawler.
Drugs or something.
Yeah, Love and Other Drugs. Yeah.
Yeah, one.
You guys remember October Sky?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Based on a true story.
He was in...
Well,
oh, no, I was going to say he's even been on Broadway and he did a musical. He did Sunday in the Park with George on musical, which is one of my absolute favorites. That's one of my favorite musicals. So he's another one who just is kind of like taking his career in as many different directions as he can. He's also been in Zodiac. Yeah. He's been in a lot of different stuff. Very recently.
Oh, The Day After Tomorrow.
Yes, oh, The Day After Tomorrow.
The Day After Tomorrow.
We were going to cover him a year or so ago with Ambulance.
Yes.
He's been doing a lot of action movies with like filmmakers like Doug Liman and Michael Bay and mm-hmm. stuff. He's kind of been leaning more towards that road. And he always portrays like really eccentric characters. And I was expecting him to kind of go off the walls with this movie. And character choice wise, he did the exact opposite. He was very subdued. He played this very subtly. And yet he did. I agree with you. I think he did a really good job in just kind of like playing it pretty calm and stoic. And he did what, you know, kind of Patrick Swayze did.
Yes. Yes, I would agree. Differently, but similar. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It was a good foil to kind of the ridiculous bad guys.
Yes.
And I say good here, like, just like, okay, I understand why he's playing it this way.
Yeah.
Can we just go off the bat? Like, have you ever heard Conor McGregor talk?
No, I knew of him, but I've never seen an interview with him. So I don't
neither
know if this
I.
is, I don't know if that's this him. Is how he is. Me neither. But like, I already know it's going to win in terms of the worst performance of the fucking year. This might be one of the worst performances I've ever seen.
He sounded like just like the director told him, is like, you're going to play the Lucky Charms mascot, but bad.
Oh, like the a Looney Tunes character.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like a Looney yeah. Tunes character.
And never like stop creepy smiling, okay?
Yes.
Get it?
No, yes. That is a Conor McGregor thing. That I know.
Is it?
Like, I think he's always just, he has like a deranged smile.
It's incredibly deranged. And like from the moment his character comes on screen, it bothered me.
Yeah, yeah, this was this was a choice for sure. Indeed. And I was definitely just along the lines of just like, wow, this is okay. And they really were banking on Conor McGregor here because he got, next to Jake Gyllenhaal, all the other promos. He would have thought that he was like going to be like the main bad guy, which he wasn't even. Oh, is Eddie looking up? Eddie's looking up to see what he sounds like.
Training, working, you know. Open for opportunity, open for breakthrough.
Yeah.
So he sounds like sound a regular like, Irish guy. Yeah.
No, he sounds like a regular Irish guy.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, this is, you know, he speaks intelligently.
Whoa.
But
whoa.
You could definitely tell, you know, he just like cranked it up a little bit.
crank that up a little bit. This is like borderline offensive. If he himself were not Irish, this would have been considered a hate crime.
So I guess because he is Irish, it shouldn't be as offensive. But like it's just bad. It is just bad. And isn't this man like, hasn't he been accused of sexual assault or something? Why is he being allowed to be in movies?
I actually do think he's been accused of sexual assault and just regular assault like several times also. He's an MMA fighter.
Yes, I think so. He's probably terrible on just all fronts. So I don't fucking feel bad at all. Like, please don't put him in any goddamn more movies, especially when the two of them are up against each other in a scene. I'm like, how?
Oh, the charges were dropped against him. So.
Oh, wow. They hush money.
Okay. You got to say allegedly on all these things because they are litigious.
Allegedly hush money. That's what it fucking feels like. But anyway, this guy sucks. Don't like him. Almost ruins the movie. But then again, this movie, you know, is fine.
No, I look, just like I thought the other Roadhouse was fine, so did I think of this one. The only difference is just like this one was truly carried by a performance from Jake Gyllenhaal that actually is what made it just like watchable, to be quite honest. Like otherwise, yeah. Like if you didn't have Jake Gyllenhaal in this film, this movie would have been just completely just bad.
Yeah.
Easily. Right? Because the writing is not good.
The writing isn't good. And it feels like it's trying to walk the steps of the original Roadhouse, but like either the original Roadhouse was trying to take itself seriously or the original Roadhouse was trying to have fun. This Roadhouse definitely isn't taking itself seriously. But it's tonally kind of all over the place because it's trying to say like commentaries in it, but then at the same time it's incredibly template-y. And like absolutely just ridiculous. It feels like it was written by ChatGPT. So
I mean, hey,
that's being generous too. And I'm so sorry to Charles Mondry and Anthony Bagarossi, the credited writers for this. But at the same time, like I don't know, this movie to me it kind of doesn't know if it wants to like be taken seriously or not.
It's I agree with you, right? It's uneven tonally. And it's kind of a little bit all over the place. There were elements of it that I liked in theory, but not in execution. For example, they built out Dalton having a relationship, like a friendship with the girl who works at the bookstore, right? I actually like that. I didn't like her performance, but I like where they're going with that, right? It's not like I felt that relationship to him was way more important than the one they try to like hammer in with the doctor, because this woman, she gave nothing. Talk about terrible performances here. Like Conor McGregor was giving his life, giving us Angry Leprechaun. This woman gave us absolutely nothing but trying to look pouty on screen. And it's just like, geez. Like, it was like, if I didn't like the sex scene between Patrick Swayze and this other lady in the original Roadhouse, I did not like the general relationship between Jake Gyllenhaal and this actress.
Ellie
was her name? Yeah.
Ellie, yeah.
Played by Daniela Melchior, I think. She's Portuguese.
Yes.
And it was just this is not working, this beat of the story. But you know what was working for me? Frankie, she was the bar owner. And I was hoping that this would be the love interest, to be quite honest.
I would have liked, actually, Jessica Williams to have played the doctor role.
I could have also seen that, yeah.
Because she would have given that kind of level of, I don't want to use, of humor and a bite back to the Dalton character in this movie that definitely would appreciate it. Definitely that I would have like, hey, if they don't end up together, I hope they stay best friends. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of feel. Because her as the bar owner didn't give me what I've seen her done in other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like her being the bar owner wasn't.
Or they could have played it up more.
It could have played, or she could have played it. It could have been that character. Because I know I've seen her like in Shrinking. She's amazing. She's amazing in that, and so funny without having to be funny. She's just she's just so sharp. I think she would have been a good just a good companion for his character, and called them out on his shit too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, dude, your cycle. You know, he's psycho, you know?
This movie almost had too many side characters, because if they kind of would have put, like, you know, okay, let's talk about these three girls. There's Ellie, there's Frankie, and then is it Laura who works at the bookstore?
I don't remember her name.
I don't remember either, but there's three of them. And then it kind of feels uneven. So, like, we're not getting enough Frankie and Frankie's story and Frankie's motivation. She's got an interesting... They give her more of a background than they did the original businessman, Frank, who hired Dalton. And then at the end, which is so messed up, he has all this money. He doesn't give her a fucking dime. Which is, like, so disrespectful in a weird way, because it's, like, he just completely destroyed and rammed, like, a boat into your establishment. It wasn't, but at the same time, like, he knows exactly, like, he knows that she's got her fucking so much work and so much construction ahead of her. He couldn't have at least split up the suitcase. So, like, writing wise, they weren't even focusing on this character, but then they had an actor who was better than the other girls. So, like, you see all the potential in it. So, it's good acting. And then it's like they put a little bit too much into these other characters, and they're like pretty much being like very tongue in cheek with the bookstore girl. But like, they couldn't do we care? So
I mean, I did a little bit. I didn't like necessarily the bookstore girl character, but I kind of liked the friendship that he was developing, because I felt that was way more of an important relationship to him than the doctor, to be quite honest, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. When the doctor is kidnapped by the end of the film, right? I don't think he's doing it because he loves her. He feels some sort of intense connection for her. He's just doing it because he's a good guy.
She was kind to him. She was kind to him, right?
No. But like, if they had kidnapped her, the little girl from the bookstore, then now forget it. Now he would have that I would have believed that he would have gone out for bloody murder.
But that's what he does too. Once he learns that she got hurt, that she was targeted and hurt by people that were targeting and looking to hurt him. That's when it's like Bruce Banner and the Hulk moment, because unlike Patrick Swayze's character, this character seems psychopathic tendencies, maybe. Like, he knows that he has a breaking point where he needs to kill, where he needs to finish the job. He knows this about himself. This is what got him in trouble when he killed his opponent, who supposedly they mentioned that was his friend too. So it was like, you know, it wasn't like, hey, you kill someone I love in the ring. It was more like, you punched me so hard, now I'm gonna fuck you up and I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
You know? Which is interesting, because he outside of that, he's like a really nice guy. He like maintains this whole be nice thing from the original Dalton, to the point where he's like, oh, how's your insurance? You know, because I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to hit you exactly here and stuff. And then he even drives these guys.
Which I loved.
Which I thought that was a really great character quirk and stuff. And it actually was kind of like funny. I was like, oh, and that one motorcycle guy that kept, you know, running into him.
Yeah. The other one I actually liked. I thought there were parts of the movie that it's just like, there's glimmers of what this could have been actually with more capable hands.
And it's secondary characters, can completely throw it off.
I don't even know if it was a secondary. I think part of it was just the writing. Like, for example, all we needed was a scene with Frankie just seeing like the boat crashing into her thing and just getting a reaction shot. That would have given me plenty. She could have done something with that. True. Or even just absolute frustrated sigh, like, because she sees her fucking bar getting destroyed, right? That would have been the perfect joke setup here. It's just like,
that would have been cute. But like, okay, did we need Big Dick?
And also, most certainly not. Did we need that double crossing?
No,
it didn't. Yeah.
Which was like the stupidest double crossing.
Did anybody believe it? Did anybody believe that he's like, oh, they took my daughter, you know, but then
yeah, it was a trap. Yeah.
They did take his daughter.
So that was double crossed.
You know, so that was kind of overdue. And it was just, I think that was just so ridiculous. And then his daughter coming in, slapping him in the face, and then taking him. And I think, I feel like all those particular scenes weren't necessary. Even knowing, like in the first movie, we don't even see the sheriff until the end.
Right.
You know, we don't see the sheriff until he walks in and say, okay, what happened here? You know, but And then it's mentioned that they have the sheriff, that he controls the sheriff. But this whole thing with Big Dick, and it's just so stupid.
It was so ridiculous.
I don't think it was necessary, you know.
I don't think it was either. That's why I'm like, there's too many characters. Because so you have your bad guy, you have your Brad Wesley, who in this is Ben Brandt. And he's a good character, but then there's his father who he like wants to impress and is like, you know, hovering over him. They're his early minions. And then I guess, you know, the Marshall Teague of this movie is Conor McGregor, although they like really expand this character of Knox.
Yeah, they're trying to make him like a Joker type of character. Yeah.
And they give him like this whole introduction too, just an excuse to see his naked body, I suppose.
He's an MMA fighter. He's got a I'm sure that was one of his blazers that he actually designs, because he's a suit designer.
Oh, is he? Wow. Yeah.
His suits are
the more people you add, the less time we have to connect with them. And just say the thing about Big Dick is that like, was Amir, was he like dubbed over by some different actor or something? Because his voice was so distracting.
Everybody was dubbed over horrifically in this film. That was one of the things I noticed like early on. Like the only one who sounded natural was Jake Gyllenhaal, but like everybody else sounded so super dubbed to the point where just like, did something happen with the audio? What's going on?
Mm. Yeah. So
I don't know. Maybe they're using AI to enhance the audio and it sounds weird.
Maybe. I don't know. In that actor in particular, it was so bad. And it was like, is this a different actor who's doing it or is it just bad? It's kind of like when Gina Davis did the additional dialogue recording for the older Gina Davis in A League of Their Own. It was like clearly not matching and done by someone else. It became distracting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There were a lot of things. I mean, I think that the best secondary character in this whole damn movie was the alligator. You know, that alligator was good.
That was a satisfying death scene, to be quite honest.
It was, yeah. And those like little shitheads in the beginning and stuff, I was like, oh, this movie has hope. I think that the movie really becomes unhinged in a bad way once we introduce the next character.
Yeah.
And that, Conor McGregor. And then you almost give like Ben Brandt too much of a reason, because Brad Wesley was just a fucking dickhead who just wanted control and dominance.
Yeah, to be quite honest, I actually like Brandt as a character. And I think that giving him a little bit of motivation as to like why he's being like so comically evil. First of all, I think what a great intro scene to show me such a ridiculous character, because we set him up to be a ridiculous human being when he's trying to get shaved on a boat. I was just like, this is comically stupid. And this is a great, and it becomes a great foil to like how cool, calm, and collected Jake Gyllenhaal's character is, right? Here's the problem. We didn't need I don't know what to call it star power, but we didn't need the spectacle that became Conor McGregor.
We didn't.
That was the problem. Once he get introduced, then it's just like, okay, now we are definitely like, because now we're putting too much focus and emphasis on him showboating.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we didn't need this whole like father storyline. And then like he has a dream of building, you know, a 5-star resort here and like passed down from generation. And then it becomes like a class commentary and stuff. And I'm like, why are we starting to take ourselves seriously?
I don't know. That's something about, it's called motivation. We got a little bit of it. The problem is, it's just like,
but is he just like being a rich dickhead not enough motivation like Brad Wesley was? I don't know.
Well, because I think it's not just talking about generational wealth. I think the other commentary he's making is just like, what is it? They say it's like it takes 3 generations to lose a fortune, right? Like
a business, a family business.
Yeah, like that's it. Business, right?
Three
like,
generations.
Three generations to ruin a business.
Family business.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay.
It's a saying, right? Like the first generation that built it, the second generation can like run it, but then the third one is usually the one that just fucks it all up. And he was that third generation, was the implication, right? That he was like, you know, the millennial fuck up. Gen Z. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Look, it wasn't that we don't need to go that deep into his character. It was just overall, like, I actually thought it's like this actually could have been a fun villain that we ruined because we had to bring in another ridiculous villain that was just over the top ridiculous. In fact,
who gets killed too by the other bad guy?
He doesn't die. Yeah. Didn't you see? We saw the
the son.
Oh, the son died by the hands of
He
was it Big
neck.
Dick?
No,
oh, you're right. Conor McGregor kills him. Which wasn't that satisfying either.
Yeah, was it?
He dies in the hands of like his father's like, I don't know, minion. But there was one thing this movie that did make me laugh out loud. It might have been the best part of the film was when Conor McGregor, Jake Gyllenhaal are fighting in that little small boat, and Conor McGregor goes like, "Ah, our own little octagon." And Jake Gyllenhaal's character is just like, "Who taught you shapes?" Like, do you not remember this? That was like a funny that. Like yeah, exchange. It's just like one. I laughed out loud. It would have been damn. Like again, Jake Gyllenhaal, I've never realized he understands comedy, and he's good. And he could have been like, yeah. If this was in more capable hands, this would have been a great film. And quite honest, like you see, it's just like, oh, this has so much potential. It kind of got squandered.
It did, and like you even see like when they kept going to those POV shots. Remember, like when they were fighting, and like you see it, but it didn't like. Only once or twice for it to be almost like too random, like it didn't become a stylization, and it was just a little overwritten. Like there were those characters in the beginning that were kind of like his disciples at the Roadhouse, and then there was like the two guys and like their kind of relationship, and then we never see them again, and it's like sucks too because they're also kind of doing Jake Gyllenhaal's job, which I get it. Dalton does that; he like trains guys, and then they run the show, and he only comes in when it's necessary. But I didn't get enough of Dalton in the beginning to like really kind of understand him. Like, I guess his reputation preceded him just like in the original, but I kind of wanted a little bit more.
Well, yeah, but his reputation here is different because he's an MMA fighter.
He's a UFC fighter.
So there's an actual reason why he's famous.
Yeah. And also famous.
Internet-wise, yeah.
Yeah. And famous for killing his opponent.
Yeah.
I also what about that like private island that he found with Ellie when she like took him and then they like sat down their chairs and drank Coronas. I was like,
they
is
weren't
this
on
real?
A private island. That's,
that's what it felt reef. Like. They found like a little area that they could the be reef. On top of. Yeah, a
that's
reef.
What they were on the reefs.
I mean, those that to me, I was like, wow.
Those are real things in the Keys and stuff. I actually like that too. Not their chemistry, right? Like I was just like, just not feeling that relationship whatsoever.
Not at all. I didn't want it. I was like.
In fact, when he was walking away, I thought it was just like, oh, good, they're doing the thing. Like, it's just like, finally, he's not interested in anything. He just wants to, out of work, I guess.
Yeah, he just wanted to do his job. But it was like, I mean, I didn't like this character from the beginning. The moment she opened up her mouth and was complaining about, oh, you're giving me patience. You know, I'm just like, this is your job, right? You're a doctor, right?
You know, be grateful that they're not dead.
I'm saying you're whole missing the point. Like, this is kind of like the outcome of all the bullshit that's happening in this town that we find out is connected to her father too. So it's like, I mean, her whole approach, her whole intro was just like, oh, please.
She was not effective.
I'm like, don't force this.
I liked the bartender more. I wish she was more of like a character too.
The one who brought him
breakfast,
the one who introduced him to Cuban
breakfast,
coffee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which you know is Cafe Bustelo, let's be
honest. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Now, did you know that? I mean, this has been in production for about 10 years, and originally they wanted Ronda Rousey to be in it. They were going to like gender flip it.
Interesting. Oh, that'd be interesting, to be honest.
I think they were always going to have like professional fighters in it. Because that's the thing, like, at the end of the day, this is a fighting picture.
Yeah.
It's kind of borderline martial arts. So these are all about the fight sequences and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I loved it. And I mean, that he would break things, he would break bones. And that was kind of exciting.
And the fingers, the throat. I loved it. No, it was great. I liked that character quirk that he would like literally tell you. He's like, okay, you're going to stop breathing in 2 seconds. So,
it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that this kind of. It had so much potential. You see the potential. There's nothing worse. Or maybe I don't know. Maybe there are worse things. Just when a movie's just terrible. But I think it's more disappointing when like you see the glimmers of what could have been.
Absolutely.
Like there's nothing more infuriating. Being like, oh, you definitely squandered this. Like you actually had all the elements. You just didn't know how to put them together.
Which is interesting because when I look at the original Roadhouse, I don't think that. I'm not like, wow, this could have been better. I'm like, this is perfect.
That one, I think. For that one, it's just like, this could have been worse.
No, I tried it. I loved it.
It's so funny, right? Where both of these just like, I liked both these films for very different reasons, and I dislike them for very different reasons.
And I mean, you know, like, what? And we saw them. We saw them kind of like
back to back,
back to back, right? Different nights, back to back nights, and both were entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know that. Like, these were both thoroughly entertaining. There was just, I think, the new one for sure left me wanting more because I saw the potential.
Yeah,
where the original one, the potential that isn't there. You know, all the things I could forgive because of the 80s or like the early, you know, late 80s tropes and stuff. Like, I could forgive the fashion. I could forgive the hair, right? That's all quintessential to when it was made. Can I forgive some of the writing? No, but like, it was still thoroughly entertaining. I think the only difference is, and this is, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think that the 80s film is like 20 minutes too long.
Yeah,
because if we cut those up the 2 hours, it would have been perfect. Yeah.
Those 2 hours drag longer than I think this one did, and I found that interesting because this one, they're about the same length, and this one actually kind of like felt like, because there's more happening, I guess it just felt like faster.
There were more action sequences.
Maybe. I don't know what it was. I don't know. This one, the new one definitely felt like I didn't feel like I was sitting watching a movie for 2 hours.
How much glass was broken in this movie? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, seriously.
It's just constantly smashing glass.
I think that the new one loses a little steam towards the end. And maybe I've just seen the original one so many times. But I also do think that there's so many unnecessary elements, like the sex scene, like that really long, creepy moments of Wade Garrett hitting on his girlfriend, like the striptease, but in the weird way, they're all the there striptease. For their own reason.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of made, like, it was a very, very long climax for the new one that could have been a little tighter, or with the removal of unnecessary characters, just could have been more impactful.
Yeah, so, no, I agree with you.
But, you know, this movie, it did pretty well. I think the original had 15 million budget, and I think it like got 60 million, which is, you know, fine. But this was also the year of Batman, so like there was just no way that this movie was ever going to be as successful as that, because that was
Batman and one of the Indiana Jones, right?
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, yes.
Yeah.
So it's because of its reputation on cable TV that people were like, let's remake Roadhouse. Like, truly, like, it doesn't matter if you do well on movie theaters,
I thought it was because of Family Guy.
I don't watch Family Guy, so I don't get what you're talking about.
There's literally one episode where like he watches Roadhouse and he starts doing the roundhouse kick, Roadhouse, for like to move like the car, for example. It was just a joke. It was like the whole episode was around this premise.
Wow. Yeah.
And just Peter saying Roadhouse, Roadhouse, Roadhouse.
Sounds hilarious.
And also Parks and Rec also had like a great Roadhouse sequence where it's like Chris Pratt talking about, he had to like entertain guests at like a cocktail party, and the only way he knew how was to like recite, go over beat by beat the plot of Roadhouse. So for example, it's like he says the line, it's just like, I fuck men like you in prison. And he's like, and you could tell this is non-consensual.
Nice. So I guess I have to ask, I don't know if we can do a whole lightning round, but we do have to ask in terms of our Daltons.
Oh, you could do a short lightning round.
I guess in terms of bad guys, we can pose Ben against Wesley and maybe the girlfriends, but there's no Wade Garrett equivalent. I don't know.
No.
Frank, like the guys who hire Dalton are enough. So let's just do those three. Ben Brandt or Brad Wesley? Who is the true villain here?
I preferred Brandt. Yeah. I think Brandt.
I like Bradley. Bradley really gave me the sense of creepy old mobster guy.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I just think Brandt's character was much more fun for a villain.
Yeah, he was more of a dickhead, where Brad Wesley was just kind of like a piece of
too
shit.
Southern,
but that's why,
like, proper.
But that's why I love Brad Wesley. I also just think that Ben Gazzara, like, this movie he's above this movie, but he also like, he acts appropriately. Like, he's really taking it like the just amount of seriousness that it's not like too much. And you know what they say, that like, in order, if you're doing a comedy, you got to play it completely straight, and if you're doing like a drama, you should add a little comedy. And I really think he just played it like very dramatically, and it worked. Okay, girlfriend wise kelly Lynch or Daniela Melchior, I think is her name.
Lynch also,
which is unbelievable. I would agree with you guys, Kelly Lynch, because I really don't care for that character.
You don't care for Kelly Lynch?
Yeah, I really don't. So,
well, let's call out the fact that she's also, what a bad doctor. Be like, you just got off of however long of a shift, and then you're going to go party all night with Dalton and Wade.
Yeah.
And then go into work in a few hours.
Yeah. Oh, and he can just say, no thanks, I don't want treatment, and you'd be like, okay, bye. Like,
yeah, well, both doctors are like this, apparently. Yeah, just like, but, okay, apparently. Here's antibiotics, I guess.
Yeah, but I felt that she had more chemistry with Patrick Swayze.
Agreed.
I felt like their first meet did have that, oh, this is kind of cute. Like, you know, they're like flirting and connecting and stuff like that. And I felt that that was way more pleasant to see than his first meet.
Yeah, it was just a sex scene that was just like not good. Everything else actually about them was actually
yeah, it was cute. Yeah,
that's true.
Enjoyed it.
That's true. The poor girl really put up with a lot in that relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dalton, Patrick Swayze, or Jake Gyllenhaal?
Oh, I love Jake Gyllenhaal. And can we just point out that the guy really got his body?
He got jacked.
Kiss.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like he's always
both of them.
But you know, he worked out for this one.
Oh, definitely,
know that. I mean, he looked really good.
Yeah,
he looked very, very good. I'm also going to go with Jake Gyllenhaal. This might be the unpopular opinion, but I think that was just a more
I
think it could be just contemporary bias for me. But that was just like, you know what? Yeah, this was a great performance.
I have to go Patrick Swayze because I want my coolers to have PhDs in philosophy, trained in the martial arts, and with the ability to cut your throat out if they want. But at the end of the day, they're just there to be nice. I mean, he just kind of checks all my boxes of what I want from an action hero, where I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal didn't have enough quirks. Like, I enjoyed the few quirks that they gave him, but he needed more. So that was it. I think he did a good job, and I think Jake Gyllenhaal is a very good actor.
Yeah, I forget how charming he can be on screen. Like, it's so funny, right? Like, because he's usually playing like the weird guy.
He's very eccentric, typically. Yeah, so like him kind of playing this more stoic character, but like, hey, he's versatile. I love it.
I wonder how this film did with the streaming numbers, considering the Swifties hate him because he broke up with Taylor Swift and
he broke her
took her red scarf.
I do wonder. I mean, I'm seeing it broadcasted and promoted a lot. So I don't know if that's like good or bad for the movie, but I do wonder as well.
I know that like him and Conor McGregor have been doing a press tour. I think we're finally like in real time, like because of the press tour, seeing like some of the effects of like Conor McGregor's time take effect, right? Like you can see like he's starting to build paralysis and stuff from like all his years of in the ring.
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope I never see him in a movie again. Like,
oh, so that's the thing. I think they were setting up for like his own solo film.
And I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, I think that's the one thing that most people who will watch this will agree that this was truly a terrible acting job.
Oh yeah, no, it was awful. It was
pretty god awful. Yeah. Sorry, Connor. Not sorry.
But he would sue the shit out of us.
Yeah. Because he totally listens. But what do you guys think? Yeah, he'll totally beat us up. You should let us know your thoughts. Let us know by emailing us, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on social media, on Instagram @remakesrebootsrevivals, on Twitter @remakespodcast. You can search for us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. If you are listening on a podcasting platform, please click on our name and give us a rating. And if it is Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review, a super nice one, and we will read it out loud on the air.
Yes. And new
have we
bonus
got any
news.
Reviews? Have we got any reviews?
We actually have gotten some new reviews. Yes. I'm not going to read them today, but there was
next episode. To make.
We always promise to read them.
Oh,
we will do that next week. We should. Okay, yes, bye. We should. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, yeah, we'll read it next week. But okay. I do want to announce this big announcement, guys. We have all the episodes now are available on your podcast apps.
That is very exciting.
Is the new picture on?
The new picture is still not on.
Oh.
I wonder if we can get...
That might take a while to...
Get approved.
Update, yeah.
Because my fan club was asking about that. That's all.
Well, so the episodes that we've been referring to, like our first ones, Murder on the Orient Express, Lost in Space, Star is Born, I think you could only have seen... listen to those on Podbean. So now
our website, remakesrebootsrevivals.com. You know, we have a website. I keep telling
you. Yeah, I never promote this at the end. I'm sorry. It's not part of my script. I need to update my script. But yes, so thank you very much to those who have reached out and commented and made it all the way at the end of the episode to hear these prompts. So we appreciate you guys very much.
Thank you.
And yes. I'm excited for next week because I'm just excited and you'll find out why. So stay tuned then. Until next time, stay original.